The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
So people are doing the math and digging into airplane stuff based on Mark Murphy saying that Austin's troubles runways aren't long enough to go to Brazil. Ned tweets at me at G9SL16. Fully loaded and fueled 787 needs 8,500 feet takeoff length runway at sea level. Austin Strobel is 8,700 feet at 656 foot elevation, so it's close. That looks like it. Looks like you could do it to me, Murph. And as other people pointed out by tweeting, again, yes, it's further than London, but the Packers did just go to London not that long ago. Again, if you got to stop somewhere to refuel, who cares? Like, it's not that.
They're not going to give it to him.
Oh, no.
Gut tell you.
Yeah, no, they're not going. They're not going. When you're resorting to the dog ate my homework levels of excuses not to go do something, the NFL's like, okay. We tried to get him to go, but let's just bring the Browns.
Could it be worse next year?
I mean, I don't know where they could go.
They're kind of rolling the dice. Well, they could go to Tokyo. They could go to Beijing. They could go to Punjab.
I don't know if the NFL is going to expand into Asia yet for regular season games. Because, like, you just ripped baseball for playing at 5 in the morning. Like, you want to make it convenient for people over there, try to find it, make way convenient for people over here. It's going to be tough, and I don't know if they want to deal with that headache.
Yeah, but basketball has a huge foothold in Asia,
yep.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they'll play those games whenever. Like, the Bucks, when they, the NBA hasn't played over there in a while, but, like, when the Bucks played in Paris, they played at that game at, like, 2 in the afternoon or whatever it was, but mm-hmm. You know, they'll play the games local time because, again, there's 82 of them, right? It's not that big of a deal if you don't wake up and see it. Whereas the NFL, with only 17 games, people are going to be ticked if they don't get to watch their favorite one of those 17 games because yeah. It's on at an awkward time.
Okay.
Matt LaFleur yesterday, great things to say. It seems like he's excited. And he started yesterday by talking about his quarterback in Jordan Love and how much contact they've been in.
Yeah, we've been in contact, just checking in, just seeing how he's doing with a lot of our players, but in particular him. And he went out west to California. I know he's working out there. But yeah, I think he is excited to get back to work, and he's putting in that work right now as we speak.
It is important to phrase that was asked directly in juxtaposition to the previous quarterback who was not named.
Yeah, because he stumbled around that pretty bad.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, all right, you talked to him once in February.
Yeah, but
he did go on to say that there was pretty consistent contact. Like that they seem, and this was happening last offseason as well, where like LaFleur was giving him specific things to work on with his QB coach and guy, like that he's got out there.
How much contact would Brett have with like Mike Holmgren back in the day during the offseason?
Very little. Because we had mini camps, so it's not for our,
yeah, that's
our mini
true.
Camps were kind of long. First mini camp, probably April, May, June. So they pretty much left. Andy never called me. Oh, well. Because I was in Green Bay.
Because he didn't need to call because he saw you?
He just walked down the stairs. No, but I'd wind up playing racquetball with a lot of the coaches because I was really the only ones around. Andy's dirty. He's dirty.
I don't know if you have the right to call anybody dirty after we just discussed how you are on. Again, for those who don't know, loyal listeners of the show may know this. Chewy wears the same pair of socks Monday through Friday.
No, I'm not saying that kind of dirty. I'm saying when it comes to playing pickleball, Andy is so competitive, he's just a dirty player. Like, he doesn't move extremely well.
But the hand-eye's there?
hand eye, and when he hits it, he hits it. So if you're in front of him kind of hogging the wall,
yeah,
he'll put one right in the middle of your back and not care.
I kind of like that.
And I'm like, can I hit my coach? Can I do the same thing to him?
Did you ever do it?
No. I wanted to.
Man.
I would now.
One right in those cheeks.
But do you guys play racquetball?
I haven't played racquetball in probably a decade.
But that thing hurts when you get pelted.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
that thing moves.
Yeah.
It's not a soft. It's not very soft. There's
no.
You know, so, that thing. That's going to leave a mark.
Gonna but leave a mark. Back to Brett. He rarely called, you know.
But
he rarely called.
It kind of seemed like he was trying to, you know, calm things. Because again, like you go back to Rodgers and the way things ended, and Rodgers like, well, anybody knows you gotta message me. You can't or FaceTime me. My phone doesn't get reception out here at my mansion in California. Like to go from that to I've been able to call, text, whatever. He's been available. I think that's just kind of what people want to hear.
You think Jordan will ever get to that point? Because we didn't think Aaron was going to get there, just because he had Brett to learn from.
Yep.
Because Brett kind of turned douchey towards the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought Aaron would learn from that. But I think looking back now, Aaron was worse than Brett.
Yeah.
And I would say much, much worse than Brett.
If I were to guess, I would say Jordan Love publicly never does what Aaron Rodgers did. Maybe behind the scenes, there are issues with contracts and him wanting things as... Because, I mean, it's hard to predict. Once you become worth $400 million, your perspective on the world changes. But I think after you watch, like he did, firsthand, all of that, I think that's going to – he's going to do – if it happens, it's going to stay behind closed doors.
Yeah. I'm not confident in anything.
I don't think he'll ever get to that point. Because Aaron came right out of the gate the first time he met Brett in the dining room at Lambeau. He said, how you doing, old man? And that's all you need to say to Brett to tick him off for a lifetime. No, I'm serious. That's when it turns sour.
Yeah, I'm laughing because that's an absurd thing to say to a Packers legend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't think Aaron would get to this level. Really didn't. Really didn't.
Not to the level he's at.
Really didn't.
Now.
So I'm. Hopefully it doesn't happen with Jordan, but I can't say with any certainty that I hope so, but I'm going to worry about that hopefully in 10 to 15 years.
I was going to say, nowhere near ruling it out.
Yeah, just can't rule it out at this point. But the other thing that Matt LaFleur said yesterday, Chew, or what was your question?
Yeah. I was going to say, why is that?
Why is what?
Why do you think Jordan would ever get to that level? I can't see him getting anywhere close.
I don't know, man. Like, honestly, I didn't think Brett would get to the level that he did. I didn't think Aaron would get to the level that he did. And yet here we are.
The reason we're keeping it as an option is because as Packers fans, we are scarred.
Yeah.
We're wearing the scars of the previous two. So for us to say, nah, he'll never do that would be a fool's errand.
All yeah. Right. I hope so.
See, I knew Brett would get to that point.
Again,
no, I did.
You knew
I
him
did.
Better.
I
like,
did.
Again,
yes.
Because you knew him, but his public persona was, you know, was pretty clean. Like, the fan base absolutely loved him. Like, they loved him to the point where even though he went to the Vikings, we were split as a fan base. Packer fans were buying Vikings Brett Favre jerseys. Guys were to Ted Thompson's face going, the only place you're going with Aaron Rodgers is the toilet bowl. Like, this was, which is still one of the all-time best clips of, you know, ever.
Okay,
so,
I get your PTSD now.
Yeah, like, it just, who knows? Again, all nothing right. I have to worry about for the next 10 to 15 years. The other thing Matt LaFleur said yesterday, and I think this is going to get people excited, talking about the uncertainty of the offense last year and how good it got versus how much they can now prepare going into the season because they know who they have.
Yeah, we were talking about this as an offensive staff the other day with Adam Stenovich. You know, before the draft last year, we didn't even know who was going to be on our team. So it's hard to plan and really put together an offense when you have no idea, when you don't know who your tight ends are necessarily going to be. You didn't really know who your other wideouts were going to be. So there were some holes, and to have a lot less and have everything kind of in place, it allows you to plan a little bit better, I think, and be very intentional with your offseason. You know, and So I do think we'll have a better plan in place when the guys come back in terms of where we want to take our offense.
Hell yeah.
But with that, you're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. Last year, they had the ability, you know, even though they were young, coordinators didn't know what to do. Now they're going to know what to do. They're going to have a whole off-season of studying them. And with this, there's pressure on LaFleur. Because he's won nothing. Great. You've been wonderful in the regular season, but you've been to two NFC championships where you were favored to win, and you're kind of Kyle Shanahan-esque.
Weren't you just saying that he should be getting a good seat for the NFL coaches picture earlier this week?
I did, but I said it should be first row on the end, which is where he was. He knows his place. Now, after reading, having Adam read Harbaugh's business card, now you know why he was in the middle. He's a couple sandwiches short of a picnic.
Wait, you didn't like the Jim Harbaugh life advice that was read off of his business card from Shefty?
How about the fact that he has a business card?
That's pretty wild.
You think he handed those out to all the coaches? How you doing, Jim Harbaugh? Here's my card.
just giving that to Andy. Here you go, Andy, just in case you need some advice.
Yeah. I mean, I love Jim, but he's a little out there.
I'm excited because I trust Matt LaFleur. I think that he did an exceptional job last season. I think we talked about that.
Yes.
I think that with him having an offseason to prepare and kind of have a better idea of what these guys can do, I think that's what can help take this offense to another level. And it's not a big jump, but it's just like it's just that little bit of more consistency because you know what to expect heading into a season.
Let me ask you this. Is there a ton of pressure on Shanahan in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having lost a handful of Super Bowls now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would expect, I'm sorry, LaFleur, you better win a flipping Super Bowl in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I mean, I think that's the expectation, that if they continue to build this thing the way they've been building it, absolutely.
Like, we thought after this Super Bowl, there was a chance that LaFleur gets canned. Not LaFleur, sorry. Shanahan gets canned, and he winds up canning and blaming his defensive coordinator, who he fired.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to get fired as the head coach.
You didn't think so?
No.
That's three chokes, Gabe. That's three chokes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you're getting to the Super Bowl. You're getting there. I mean, Lynch is going to ride this out with Shanahan, but I digress. That's a San Francisco 49ers problem.
But I'm just saying he's kind of, LaFleur is kind of the tree of Shanahan.
Yeah.
He's got to win a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Correct.
You're not getting any pushback here.
Okay.
But I mean, does it have to be in 2024?
It's got to be in 3 years.
Yeah. So he's got time. He's got time.
Right.
But again, I'm excited for this year, and I'm excited because of some of those comments LaFleur made. It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, Mentality can help you. It's helped me. And maybe you're thinking as you're getting older, I just get tired, and that's just how it goes. It doesn't have to be that way. If you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy that you had a year or two ago, that could be signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help you if that's what it is. And it's easy to find out if it is. You go to their website, lowtusa.com, book an appointment, go through their process. At the end, you get a blood panel done. Within a week, your results are back to you. And if your testosterone levels are low, then you start working with Mentality. They'll have a customized testosterone treatment plan for you. That's what I love about this. It's customized. They want to make sure that your levels stay exactly where they should. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality at lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Six. Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost. 75309
on 94.5 ESPN.
Jesse and Madison hits us up at the talking text line, 800-990-3776. Mark Murphy should tell the NFL, we can't pay rent. How are we expected to pay for plane tickets to Brazil? Mark Murphy coming up with every excuse that he could possibly think of why the Packers maybe shouldn't go to Brazil. Have to wait and see. He's expecting to hear by the end of the week. I don't know if that's going to leak out then, that the Browns are the team playing. But the Packers apparently still in the running, according to Packers president Mark Murphy, to play in Brazil. Second day, it would be the second game of the new league here, Friday after that opening Thursday. But I kind of feel like an idiot, because I probably should have seen this coming, too, but I didn't. I just assumed that, okay, NFL game, Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. You know, NBA is going to be happy because the NFL is going to be taking some of their viewers away. I should have known. I should have known that the NFL was going to find a way to do a doubleheader and put teams on a Wednesday. Should have known that. I mean, Shefty reported it yesterday. NFL playing on Christmas, even though it's on a Wednesday.
So what does the NBA do now? Because that's, is the schedule set already for next year's NBA season?
No.
They just put two crappy games in there? Because they don't want to compete against the NFL.
It depends. I mean, those games are, it depends upon where the NFL, where the NFL is going to put those games, right? Like, if the NFL decides to put those games on some sort of streaming platform, if they put it on Peacock, or if they end up putting it on Amazon, who knows? You know, then the NBA would be fine. And but my guess is, because ABC isn't going to be broadcasting any of those games, like, ABC is still going to want NBA games. And yeah, they take a hit, but they still do fine.
When does it become too much? Like, now they're moving to Fridays into high school football territory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, a big plan for college football and the Big Ten for Fox, they're going to be running games on Friday nights very frequently. Very frequently, Chu. So is this too much? Let me ask you if this is too much. Because starting on Christmas Day, here is how this week-long football stretch looks. December 25th, and Shefty said it's going to be a doubleheader. They'll have two games on Christmas Day. December 26th, you'll have your typical Thursday game. December 28th, so skip over Friday to Saturday, NFL games. Sunday, NFL games. Monday, NFL game.
Wow.
And then that Tuesday, December 31st, college football quarterfinals. January 1st, college football quarterfinals.
For me, it's too much NFL, because by that time, you know, obviously I'll watch Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't watch Thursday, depending. I mean, if the Packers are playing, then you'll watch. Saturday is my college football day.
Well, but there's not going to be any college football games on Saturday on the 28th.
Oh, so that's NFL?
That's NFL.
God, that's a lot of NFL. I get burnt out.
That makes one of us.
I get burnt out. Huh?
So that makes one of us.
I told you. I like college football more than I like professional football.
Why?
I just do. I don't know why. Purer.
Yeah, so pure.
The purest.
Was that funny? I don't know. I just enjoy it. I don't want to have to know everyone's name. You know? You don't like college football?
I do like college football, but I feel about... So I'll compare it to this. Last night I was flipping around. Bucks got up by 20 points, you know, or 19, I guess, in the fourth quarter. So I decided to check out the NIT game with Indiana State and the guy whose nickname is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, just like this big white dude who's got all the fundamentals, shot fakes, all that, has the rec specs, and it's kind of taken off on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I watched about four possessions of kids just chucking bad threes, and I went, yeah, I'll just go back and watch the professionals do it. Like, college football at the highest level is still not professional football. Like, pro football is still just better. It's a better game because they're better at playing it. That's why they're pros.
I don't know. I'm turned off by today's athlete. It's all about clicks. I'm turned off by the way...
When's that going to get to college for you, though?
Yeah.
Because it's
Raiders,
damn close.
Like
that's, I guess, what I was poking at is, like, I understand why you would like it before transfer portal, NIL, and now all these things that go into college football. Like, because, I mean, all those things that I don't think that you like about today's athlete that have leaked into the pro game, I think are leaking into the college game, bud.
Like, are you watching the Raiders towards the end of the season on a Monday night play the Arizona Cardinals when they're both 5-9?
Depends upon who's wrestling on Monday Night Raw.
That's to say. Oh.
Joshy, are you?
Most likely, yes. I'm probably not locked in, but it'll be on.
Yeah, see, I can't watch That's bad football.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's good football.
I've watched more bad football than good football.
But, I mean,
it's still football.
I'm Gabe Neitzel, and I'm a football addict.
Okay.
You know, that's just, and that's a big portion of the sporting fan base. Opening day, it's tomorrow. We're pumped. We're also pumped because Sophia Minnertz is back with us every Wednesday. We talked to Sophia about the Brewers starting their season. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
Look, this team, they will find a lot of ways to surprise you. And I think the fact of like how they got here, how they won so many games.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I guess what lead feels safe to you as the Brewers wrap up the final month-ish of the year?
Clinched feels safe.
Yeah, at least 7 with 6 to play, something like that.
Yeah.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minnert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town.
Opening day is tomorrow. Brewers home opener is going to be happening next Tuesday. We've got some cool things we're going to be doing here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for the home opener for the Brewers, but they'll open things up tomorrow afternoon. I guess I should say hopefully opening things up, Chewy, because the weather forecast in New York, not looking great. Brewers opening up the season against the Mets in New York. They always build in that day where, so opening day is tomorrow, and then Friday is kind of the built-in day of, okay, well, if we can't play Thursday, then Friday becomes opening day, and then you really kind of start with the regular schedule. Not looking great weather-wise, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they get the game in tomorrow, but regardless, it looks like it's going to be wet.
Why don't they start all these games off in either Dome Stadium or somewhere warm?
Because baseball, Chewy, is always going to baseball.
Okay.
They used to do that. Like, the Brewers used to open up at home. They would have kind of a longer homestand to kind of start the season because, well, they've got a roof on their stadium. So why not go to a place where you know those games can be played? Excited to talk about the Brewers with our friend Sophia Minnert. She is back for the baseball season, back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But, Sophia, before we get to baseball, because I know you're a Marquette alum, you did some stuff on TV with Shaka Smart, Inside Marquette Basketball, all those sorts of things. So as a Marquette person, how excited for Friday are you and a trip to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 11 years?
I am, well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi to you guys. Great to be on with you guys. I am so fired up. I think this has been one of the most fun teams, I think, that Marquette has had to watch. And you know, they came in with crazy expectations after last year. And I just think I've loved watching them play, you know, and you mentioned the show Inside Marquette Basketball that I've been able to do with Shaka the last couple seasons. And he's so great to talk to. He's so deep. He cares so much. I think you saw like the emotion come out of him after the win in the post game interview when he was talking about how much he loves this team and how much he doesn't want the season to end. All of that is very real if you spend any time around him. So I'm fired up. I really feel like this is a team that, you know, could advance to the Final Four and hopefully beyond. So I'm fired up for Friday.
So, Sophia, pivoting to the Brewers, we've been used to the past couple of years the strength of this team being its starting pitching rotation. That's not going to be the case this year, losing Burns. What's going to be the strength of this team moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's going to be a different puzzle for the pitching staff. As you said, they're missing some significant arms with Corbin Burns and with Brandon Woodruff. But I think something that's going to be really fun to watch with this team is just like their youth. They're going to have maybe as many as 12 players on the opening day roster that it'll be their first time for opening day. So you think about that youth, and then you think about some of the young guys that we got to see last year, like Sal Frelick and Joey Weimer and Garrett Mitchell, who unfortunately is hurt now. Bryce Terang, who had such an amazing year. Then you've got Jackson Churio coming up, who's got so much potential. I think we're all really excited to see what he can do in his rookie year. I think they're just really excited about, you know, the talent that they have in their position player group. They're extremely versatile. They're young. They're hungry. The pitching staff is going to look different. There's no doubt about it. But you've got Freddie Peralta back. He's going to get the opening day start. Wade Miley should be back soon, coming back from his injury. And then there's going to be other guys that are going to have to step up. And I think the bullpen was probably an area where we had the most questions last year. They ended up being one of the best bullpens in the National League, and you're essentially returning all of them. We know Devin's going to start on the IL, but hopefully get him back before the All-Star break. So it's going to be a different-looking Brewers team, but I still think there's going to be a ton of players for fans that they're going to love to watch, and we're going to watch this team kind of grow up together.
Fans for a while, Sophia Minert joins us, as she does each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Fans have been clamoring for Christian Yelich of 2018-2019, and I want to temper my expectations because it's only spring training, but there was one ball that he hit in particular that I don't know the last time he hit a ball that far in spring training, and it seemed like he had a really good spring. Should I be tempering my expectations? I want to get excited, but again, it's spring training, and you can never put too much into it, right?
Yeah, that's the joy of spring training is is you're like, what does this all really mean? But no, I think you're absolutely right, Gabe. Is, you know, Christian did have a really good spring. He had almost 40 at bats. He had a couple home runs in there. It was opposite field contact. I mean, look, I would also point to last year. I don't know what more you could have asked from Christian Yelich last year. He played in almost 150 games. He was out there essentially every day. He was playing a lot of left field. His defense was better. He had, I think, 19 homers, you know, stole over 20 bases. Like, he was in there every day and in the leadoff spot. So in terms of a health and production standpoint, like, I know that the standard for him will always be those 2018 and 2019 seasons because that's what he's capable of doing. And when we've seen what he looks like when he's at his peak. But again, I would just say that, like, what he did last year, if you could get another year like that from him, I think they would be thrilled. And I think Christian would be really happy. Christian's always trying to get back to that place. But I think probably any athlete would tell you that's, like, the hardest part of sports, right, is repeating, you know, success that you've had in the past.
So Sophia, would your advice for Brewers fans be, look at last year's Packer team where the expectations were very low. I think a lot of people had them winning six games. Struggled the first half of the season and then kind of figured it out and wound up doing real well getting into the playoffs. Is that, should people be like looking at the parallels there with this team where they may struggle early on and hopefully figure it out later in the season?
Yeah, I think anything is possible. And you know, I think, you know, you're using the Packers as an example. I'd even look at last year's Brewers team as an example. Yes, they were, you know, last year they had that top line pitching staff, but still nobody last year pitched the Brewers to win the Central. I'm not sure many people would have picked them to win 92 games. And, you know, even with the pitching staff that they had last year, they didn't have Brandon Woodruff for a majority of the season. They had a terrific bullpen. And they were counting on a lot of rookies in the lineup. And there's ups and downs that come with that. And we're going to see that again this year. We're going to see that with Churio. We're going to see that with, you know, the quote unquote sophomores, you know, those rookies from last year, year two. But they come in with so much more experience. They come in with so much more confidence. They know what to expect now. I just think they're so much more prepared. So, and then you add a guy like Reese Hoskins, right, who's probably the biggest addition from the offseason. If you can get him healthy and you can get a productive Reese Hoskins, he's capable of 20, 30 plus homers. And he loves hitting at American Family Field. So I think with this team, really anything is possible. There's going to be ups and downs, no doubt. We've gone through this every year. But yeah, I mean, Pat Murphy said it the other day, it's like, They're not focused on any expectations or anything like that. They really, you know, he's like, this group could really believe themselves into contention for anything.
I am a little sad, though, Sophia, for Garrett Mitchell, because that's another guy I was really excited for, had a good spring. I was hoping some of that momentum would carry over just based on the injury he had a year ago. And now, do we know a month, 2 months that he's going to have to wait before he makes his 2024 debut?
Yeah, I think you're right, Gabe. It is really a tough break for Garrett. You know, he missed so much time last year, essentially the whole season with the shoulder injury. And then, you know, it's the last weekend he was out taking BP, getting ready, and just didn't feel like he could really grip the bat properly and just felt some soreness there. So they had some imaging done on the left hand, and there is a fracture. So he's going to get a second opinion just to determine if there's any other next steps. Hopefully there's not. But with that being said, you know, it's going to be at least a month, could be up to two. So huge bummer, because he had really solidified himself in center field, and with Jackson Chourio over in right field. And, you know, he was going to be probably a regular candidate in the leadoff spot. We saw Garrett get time there. We saw Sal get time there. They've liked having Christian Yelich batting third, which is different than what we saw last year with Yelly as the primary leadoff hitter. So, yeah, it's going to change, you know, what the opening day roster looks like. But hopefully Garrett can get back here sooner rather than later.
When I look at the youth of this team, Sophia, I think they're going to, and we were just talking about them surprising people, but I think they could have the potential to play a really exciting brand of baseball where they're taking extra bases, they're stealing bases, taking advantage of that youth and athleticism they have, especially once Garrett gets back. Am I off base there? Are they going to be trying to push the envelope on the base paths this year?
No, I think you're spot on. This is a team, and that's where I think it's like, you know, back to the original question about like strengths of this team. This team is extremely athletic. You know, we've spent the last couple of years talking about pitching, and rightfully so. And you know that you need good pitching to win. But these guys are extremely athletic. You've got speed kind of up and down the lineup. You know, Jackson Chourio is a guy who can like bunt for a base hit. It kind of reminds you of like what kind of Bryce Turang can do, or what a Sal Frelick can do. And he's just a pure hitter. So you've got, you know, Garrett, when he comes back, who can run, Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich, of course, who can run the bases better than anybody. Jackson's got great speed. It's a really intriguing lineup when you look at kind of up and down. It could be more contact. Definitely going to run. It feels like it's going to be green lights for everybody on the bases. They want to be aggressive that way. They know that they have to be. This was a team that, you know, didn't hit a lot of home runs last year. I think this team is capable of hitting more, especially when you add Rhys Hoskins and Christian Yelich and William Contreras, who is coming off of the Silver Slugger season. So I think they're very well balanced offensively, and hopefully you can keep that group going and, you know, keep them healthy and productive.
All right, before we let you go, Sophia, we have our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket going on, and I'm not going to go through all 32 that we have, but we just wrapped up our public region, releasing all of those matchups. Are there any on here that really bother you? So our one seed in our public region, people who are on the speakerphone literally anywhere, grocery store, walking down the street, wherever, and that took on grocery store spatial awareness, people who obviously just like leave their cart anywhere. We also have walking three wide, like on a sidewalk or the airport, leaving dirty cups or dishes in the sink, people who cut the line, people who at the coffee counter just don't know what they're doing. Like you wait in line, then you don't know what you're ordering, and you're taking too much at the coffee counter. Here's my favorite one that I think has a chance to go a long way in the public region: shoes off anywhere. Like, not everywhere is your living room. And then ignoring when you're in a conversation, wow, that's crazy. Like, you're going on a long story and people just keep saying, wow, that's crazy. Like, that is public speak for, hey, you should probably wrap this story up. Are any of those, like, do you like any of those? Are those any of those that really annoy you when you're out and about in public?
Well, I am at the airport right now.
Okay.
heading to New York. So I feel like, the airport is the peak place for all of these grievances.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to just self-report that I'm doing this phone call with headphones on, as anyone should do, right? I would say that the speakerphone thing absolutely unhinges me, because I just think, like, nobody wants to listen to your conversation. And usually when people are on speakerphone, the volume's like excessively loud.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So it's like now we're all just a part of your conversation. Like, are you asking for our input here? And then the other one, the shoes off thing. Yeah. Please. Yeah. And I don't know why, when did we get to a place where, like, even on flights, like, people think they can take their shoes off?
I don't know, Sophia.
When did we get to that?
Baffling to me. The plane's not your living room, right? Like, still, but, yeah. It's still a public shared space.
But they even make the announcements on the stewardesses make it now, saying if you're going to listen to your movie or whatever, put headphones. I mean, you have to tell people that now? It's insane.
I was on a flight earlier this off season where someone was watching a movie without their headphones on. And yes. And I kept waiting. I was like, surely someone will say something. You know, I was even waiting for the flight attendants to come over. Like, I don't even remember what it was, but like, I had my headphones on and I could still hear it. So, I mean, imagine what like their seatmate is thinking. So anyway, yes, all of those grievances, those are strong candidates, but my top two would be the speakerphone and the shoes.
All right. Well, make sure you follow along at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter to see how all those end up doing in our bracket. We appreciate it, Sophia. I'm pumped. I love baseball. Baseball season's here. Can't wait to talk to you every Wednesday.
All right, guys, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon after opening day.
Hey, Joshy.
Yes?
I'm pretty sure Sophia was giving Gabe the, wow, that's crazy, with all the noise at the airport, and Gabe just kept going and going. She wanted to give you the, wow, that's crazy, Gabe. So way to go, Gaber!
We give more of our grievances. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
How you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
Your next hangout spot is found right in Waukesha. Q Club Wisconsin is the perfect place to catch a game, play some games, and grab a drink. Bocce courts, dart boards, foosball tables, and of course, pool tables. 10 of them. Plus, Q Club Wisconsin has its best fish fries tonight, Wednesday nights, and Fridays. And you know they just pile it high. Check out the live music on Saturday and stop in for brunch every weekend starting at 9 a.m. It's all happening at the Q Club Wisconsin on North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Visit QClubWI.com or like them on Facebook.
Thank you all for coming. One more matchup to unveil today as we open up our bathroom region. We've been through two regions. This is region number three. Again, vote for all these grievances at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Chewy, the one matchup that we unveil before we leave today, the number one seed in the bathroom region is Pee on the Seat. Pee on the Seat is the number one seed, taking on the eighth seeded only electric hand dryer. I know a lot of people struggle with that, can't get it going. Although I would say only electric hand dryer, at least having the option would be better than when Jen used somebody else's previously used paper towel, as she told that story a while ago. But what do you think? Pee on the Seat versus electric hand dryer only.
See, Pee on the Seat doesn't really bother me.
Well, you're not taking number two away from home?
No, because
don't play road games in that.
I'm usually the one peeing on the seat. It's a long ways up. Long ways up. So they'll win in a wash, I would think.
We'll unveil the rest of the bathroom region tomorrow here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. William Tausch coming up next.